tonight on the Mac to the Future Livecast Go. Yes, this eventually does become an Apple podcast. What of it? Well, some are saying that Apple might be building a paid-for podcast service, which seems kind of weird. But if true, I know certain podcasters that would be a good fit and would probably work cheap. According to some, Apple is also on track to release some new M-Series Macs in the next month or two. I wonder what they'll be. And hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac to the Future Livecast Go. I am one of your hosts, Guy Searle, my Mac.com podcast, Guy's Daily Drive as well. And it has been, it's been a strange, strange evening. Wouldn't you say so, Dave?
Yeah, a little strange. Well, obviously with the inauguration today, was very busy throughout the United States and, beyond that, yeah, it's been a little strange. I have weird, strange things going out at work today. So I say overall strange day.
Yeah. So we're a couple minutes getting started, a couple minutes late getting started here.
There's no rules. What rules are there?
Well, no rules, just right. Except it wasn't right. Yeah. We have a couple of quick takes here, and I'm going to start with the second one instead of the first one because it's kind of apropos to what's been going on here tonight. As you can tell, Dave is wearing his lovely, ever so lovely, AirPod Pros, and I'm wearing these big Sony MDR 7506 cans. And the reason why is because as much as I have been praising Apple for how great the M1 Mac Mini is. I mean, it's fast as hell. It just does everything so quickly, except for one thing, and that's work with Bluetooth. Now, also, this chair is squeaky as hell. Some are claiming that a Bluetooth fix for the M1 Max is coming soon, and it might be in the next version of Big Sur, the second beta of which is already in the hands of developers. Are you running the beta, Dave?
Oh, no. I don't, but, well, yeah.
I did. I don't usually, especially on a production machine, but I did because I was kind of hoping that whatever this Bluetooth fix was going to be in the beta. And based on what we had going on tonight, I'd have to say, no, it's not. What is all that noise? What's going on?
Was it me now?
Oh, you're getting some stuff?
I was grabbing my stuff. Sorry
about okay, that. So we've got, we're going to talk about that stuff in just a second. The other quick take we have
I'll touch on that a little bit.
Go ahead.
You know why I'm not having problems? Because I'm using my Intel Mac for this show. So the M1 isn't being used at the moment. So illegal intro music again?
No. Well, it's YouTube bad music, but that's all it's part and parcel. You're allowed to use it.
Yeah, it's free. I haven't tried too much on the M1, but Frank says he had Bluetooth issues with his, but it's Frank.
Yeah. Well, I know he's talking about getting a new Mac.
Yeah. So anyway, let's go ahead and move on.
Okay. The other thing we have in quick takes is new products. You got some new stuff over there.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the iPad there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're right. So I got sidetracked with comments. There's also supposed to be a 12.9-inch iPad Pro update very soon with, I guess, the big The big change is going to be that it'll have a mini LED display, and it might possibly also extend to the 11-inch
good
as well. Now, they're currently on, are they on A14 processors?
I believe so, yes.
So I don't know if there is another new processor coming out for iOS, and we'll talk more about ARM processors when we get into the next part of the show. But I haven't heard anything really about a brand new processor coming out for iOS devices. I mean, they just released the iPhones just a few months ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It could coincide with another M series processor for the next iteration of the Max. It's always very possible. That's rumor, of course. But I know for sure we're going to see new Mac iPads. I mean, they're overdue. It's been since 2020
March.
In March of last year. But it was a very subtle upgrade. As I'm still in my 2018, happy as clam with it. So really not much difference between the 2018 model and 2020. So I think this is going to be a substantial.
Yeah, I bought a 2018 change. Because they had just come so far down in price after the 2020s came out. And I hadn't heard anything from anyone that, you know, said, oh, man, the 2020 is so great because it does blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I hadn't heard any of that. So I figured I'll get the 2018 for a good price. And I did.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So you got some stuff.
Yeah, I got some stuff. I, of course.
Tell me about the stuff.
Of course, I attended a virtual CES last week, and a lot of chatter about that. And definitely was an interesting experience. I came off of being there live a year ago, but
yeah,
that was good. I got a lot of great information and that stuff. So did get a chance to talk to a number of vendors, and a couple of them I wanted to tell you about here. Spec makes some great cases for iPhones. They came out with a new product, actually a little case for the AirPods Pro. It's the Presidio Quick Flip. That's the box there, and it's actually not a bad little guy here. This is it here, and
that's plastic, right?
It's plastic, okay. And it protects it. So if you see how I open it up, it actually slides right into here. And this piece actually, if you can kind of see it, see how it's moving up and down there like that?
Yeah.
So it slides inside here.
Oh, okay. And so the little LED on front, they have a hole for that.
The hole's there for the LED, right? And then of course you have the little tab here for the if you want to plug it in wired. It does work wirelessly, but the cool thing here is this right here. So now I can actually put this in my backpack and not have to go digging to try to find it. It does charge wireless charge. So here's, you know, there's a wireless charge right there. So I can actually go in and charge it, and it does work. I tried it. So it's only $29. So
do you have to hold it in your hand like that while it charges, or?
No, I just was doing that for the purposes of the camera. No, to protect the case, because that case, you're it's an investment. $200 set of AirPods.
If you get them full retail.
Yeah, $249. So I mean, it protects it pretty well. So,
what does that run?
This is $29.99. It's not that.
That's
expensive.
All. That's not bad.
Yeah. So and then they sent me also the Presidio cases. I had the one for the iPhone 11 Pro Max last year. They say, you know, interesting is on this box here, it's on this side, that it says MagSafe compatible. Well, that's kind of malarkey because it does, you know, it has to be a MagSafe. Here's the case here. It's clear. So yeah, you can see through me here. And
yeah, if you go ahead and get the Pacific Blue because you like that color.
Right,
which then you'll still be able to see. You'll still be able to see the color of the phone.
Yeah, I still come out of the case out here. That's my Pacific Blue one. But only thing I'm not too excited about is because I use a clock stand. It's made by iHome, and it sets right onto it, and that's how it charges. This case is just a little too thick, and it's not making a charge. So I have to decide, okay, is it time for me to move on from that thing? Because I bought that, you know, a year or two ago. So
yeah, and it's lightning, so it still connects.
But this case is too thick, so when it sits on that stand, it won't charge. So
okay.
I have to switch it. So And then let me buy and grab the box here so people can just see.
All right, see, you showed me this just a little while ago.
This is the product here. It's the Hubble for iPad. It's an all-in-one hub plus case. It's made by a company called Fledging. I have to make sure I pronounce it properly.
Not fledgling, fledging.
No, because fledging. I mispronounced it, and I was corrected by my friends, Ethan, the CEO at Fledging. So
the company actually wants you to pronounce the name of the company right. Go figure.
It should be. So this is a nice, not a bad little case. It's what really spots out this is the fact that it's a. Not only is it a case, which looks kind of weird, right? But it's a hub. Look at that.
Yeah, what are the ports on? I saw the ports, but I didn't see what it actually had.
You have two USB-C ports. You have a USB-A port. You have an SD card and an micro SD card reader. A 4K HDMI.
Jesus.
You have a 3.5-inch headphone jack on here as well.
Is that just headphone or is that in and out? Or do you know?
I think it's just a headphone.
Okay. Yeah,
so, but it's a hub. Here's what it looks like in the back. This cover just pulls right off. So you can just pull it off if you don't want the cover on. One thing I will say about it, they didn't give us any instructions. And I was having a heck of a time getting this iPad in here because not knowing that there are some, if you could see here, there's some hidden little latches here.
Yeah,
you have to pull up, and then this the whole hub slides out. Then you put it into the case, and then slide the hub in place. Then it works. It does have a power switch on here too. So because that was the first complaint you'd hear, this is the power switch right here, and that will turn the hub off completely because it is going to suck up some battery life if you have this hub on all the time. So if you're not going to use it for a period of time,
okay. So the power switch is just for the hub.
The power switch turns off the hub, so then it takes away any power that it's using against the battery, because there were some complaints that it was really sucking up battery life from it. But overall, not a bad case. It's metal, so it's a pretty durable case. So
will it stand?
In fact, it already got scratched here. Oh my God, what's up with that? I wonder what
it did. Will it stand on its own or as part of the rest of the case or
with the case? Yeah. So let me put the case back on. I think it's this way. Yeah. So then,
Apple one. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got the stand here. So it's gonna, it'll hold it up. So.
Okay. Cool.
Not a bad little case here. I'm pleasantly surprised. And then, I plugged in my USB-C drive here and looked in the Files app and voila, there it is.
Yeah, I wonder if the next version, and this we don't really have this in the show notes. I wonder if the next version of iOS will give us more of a desktop look.
Anything's possible.
That would be awesome.
Those are some of my products. There's others. I talked to some other guys. They didn't send me any demo units, but there was a microphone that I talked to by a company called Amperage, the Mighty Mic, Mighty Mic Pro. Was a wireless microphone that you could use with your iPhone to do interviews and such.
Other than that, I was gonna say, is it Bluetooth? Because I'm not feeling the love. I'm not feeling the love for Bluetooth right now.
Yeah. So, but that's enough. The two products I showed you.
I kind of like that. The next time you talk to, because are you gonna do a product review on that? For my Mac or for your website or something?
I'll be talking about it actually tomorrow during I'm In Touch with iOS. So
podcast, the In Touch with iOS podcast that you do live on Thursday nights with Warren Sklar.
That is right.
Yeah, but this is our podcast, and we don't talk about that here.
All right, cool.
The In Touch with iOS podcast. And my special guests
I have every week, too.
Yeah, yeah. Which you can find in starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or 7 p.m. Central Time here on Facebook, In Touch with iOS Podcast. But we're not here to talk about that.
All right.
Moving on. To the main stories, there's a company, Dave, called Corellium. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I have not.
There's kind of a lawsuit going on. This was the company that created that virtual version of iOS that they were selling to other people to look for security bugs and flaws in iOS. And Apple got, they got peeved that some other company was making a version of iOS and selling it. So, but that's not actually what they've done. What they've actually done here that kind of got this story going, they claim to have created a usable version of Ubuntu Linux that will run on M1 Macs through a USB dongle. Mm. The company creates virtualized versions of software for ARM processors, says the version they've created has full networking capabilities, but no support yet for GPU acceleration. The story is somewhat odd, as I was saying, since Apple and Corellium have been in a legal battle over Corellium's posting of a virtual version of iOS for security researchers.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, come on, look at Parallels. They're still struggling to come up with their virtual version of their virtualization software. So, and I haven't seen anything from VMware either that no. allows us to be able to virtualize any of that software as well. So, hey, why not? It's if a mic. No, it's not a mic. I'm not surprised, but I'm sure Apple's gonna hold them to it. That they're not infringing on any of their intellectual property when it comes to that. So
yeah, well, I mean, and the thing is, even if Apple agrees with Corellium for the reasons why they're doing it, they can't let another company do that without losing control of their own software legally. You know, you have to defend your trademarks and you have to defend your patents, or you no longer have those trademarks and patents. Okay, next story. Is Apple going to create a podcast service? Now, according to some analysts, Apple is talking about creating a podcast paid for subscription service. Now, if this is true, Apple would probably be able to pay podcasters who would be asked to be part of the service a fair amount as compared to what some are currently getting, which is mostly nothing or a pittance based on ads. The bigger question to me is who controls the content? If Apple is paying for it, chances are Apple would host it and would also have the power to kill it for any reason good enough for Apple. And would podcasters be willing to give up that much control of their own content for a paycheck? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think Apple's idea of coming with a podcast service, because they want to compete with the likes of a Spotify and right. iHeartRadio and many of those others who do the medium, you know, with media. I don't know if they're going to necessarily. I would think that they would leave it as open content. I mean, that's what podcasts are. I don't see them going to try to kill it for any reason just because Apple doesn't like it. I mean, yeah, I don't see that happening. I'd be very surprised if Apple did something like that. You know, freedom of speech, free podcasts. There's so many podcasts out there. Why would they want to restrict them? I mean, you got your very political ones that have gotten banned in the past, but that they've been banned by everybody, not just Apple.
Apple wouldn't be paying for, I don't think Apple would have much in the way of pure political podcasts anyway.
No, I mean, it'll be a mix. I'm not saying that the freedom, that whole, we don't want to go down that rat hole, freedom of speech and the whole thing that would happen with Twitter and the former president and all that stuff.
But, let's address that very, very quickly. Number one, these are private platforms.
Right.
They're entitled to allow or disallow whoever they want to for whatever reasons that they want to. It's not a freedom of speech First Amendment issue, because that only applies to the government suppressing speech. Your right to say whatever it is you want to say isn't being curtailed here. It's just your right to say whatever you want to say on somebody else's network is up to them. So if Twitter or Facebook or whoever suddenly decided, we don't like what we hear from Guy Searle in regards to XYZ, then they could remove me from their platform and there really wouldn't be much I could do about it. Because they're you know, that's the way it works. And it's can't, you know, it's unfortunate because I think that they're opening up a can of worms that they're going to lose control over, and it kind of breaks up the internet and social media platforms into different camps. And I think that it's not so much that it's dangerous, but you get a splintering effect that means that a lot of the stuff that we currently get for free based on ads and all the rest of that won't be self-sustaining anymore because the money is just not there to do so.
Yeah. But I don't see Apple restricting this. It can't scream fire. I don't see it. I don't see it. And I can see them getting, I mean, they're expanding their services. I mean, that's the next steps here now that News Plus, now they have the arcade and all the other services they have. Why not get into the podcast and try to offer some premium podcasts?
Do you think that they would also host it? Or would it basically be just going a handshake deal where you go to particular podcasters and say, we really like what you're doing and we want to make you exclusive to an Apple service?
They could, because look at Joe Rogan and what he did on Spotify. I mean,
yeah, but isn't the Joe Rogan podcast still available through Apple?
Unless it's opened up. I don't listen to his show, so originally he signed a deal with Spotify that it was exclusive, unless it's since opened up, that I'm not aware of. I mean, it's very possible, but yeah, I mean, there are, let's face it, come on, you want to be able to get an exclusive deal with Apple, that would be definitely something to consider. I mean, what do you think with Apple TV Plus is happening with all this exclusive content that's happening, you know? You know, look at Ted Lasso. I mean, that show just become just a phenomenon. So, I mean, it's
right.
I mean, all that content is on there exclusive. So why not podcasts?
But the weird thing is Apple has redistribution rights with different companies. Like you can go to your Apple TV app and still see Disney Plus and still see CBS All Access and still see, you know, ESPN and some of the other exclusive services that are out there, and Apple isn't hosting any of it. It just seems to be some kind of reciprocity deal where, you know, they're saying, okay, well, you know, you want eyeballs on your content. The way you get eyeballs on your content is you have as many different ways to connect to that content as possible while still keeping your brand identity.
Right. God,
what is wrong with me tonight?
Well, that chair is just getting out of control.
I know. No, it's just, I'm never mind. You know, because I don't want to blow my own. I almost sound smart tonight, and it frightens me.
Yeah.
I'm not usually like this. You know, I'm usually the happy-go-lucky.
You're on the soapbox tonight.
I am. And I need to get off of that damn thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to move on to our last story. Boy, this show is really going fast tonight. What is the next M device coming for Apple? And I think the next M device should be a replacement for this freaking chair. So, Dave, what do you think the next M series Mac that's going to come down the pike? Would Apple go with new 16-inch MacBook Pros or that bezel-less iMac? Would that be the next one?
I think it's going to be potentially a 14-inch MacBook Pro and a 16-inch MacBook Pro. 16 will be obviously the top end. The rumor was they're going to add more ports. That was a lot of the discussion that people like to see. And then the other rumor was MagSafe may make a comeback. Talked about this last night on Mac Voices with Jeff.
Yeah, Gamma. I'm so sorry I missed that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I was going to show, but I wasn't feeling well.
No, that's fine. But we talked about that at great length, some speculation. Maybe considered, you know, they came out with MagSafe for the iPhone. Why not have MagSafe for that type of MagSafe for the MacBook Pro, where you could easily charge your MacBook wirelessly in the same way with MagSafe in that sense. But there was some not so happy chatter about the old version of MagSafe, like this one, that's no longer nobody.
Well, a lot of people really liked it.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like it because it was proprietary. You didn't have that. It was only Apple that could allow it. Whereas, you know, they've now universalized everything with the MacBook Pros and the MacBooks with USB-C and Thunderbolt. So, which I do like, and I was glad Apple went that route, because now it's universal. You can have any plug to plug in to your MacBook with that actual port. So I'm seeing that, and in the M series, I would definitely think it's going to be a bump in the processor for sure. I mean, whether they call it M2 or M1X or whatever they decide to call it, and that level should bring the level up to where it is. iMacs, I don't know if they're going to be doing this in stages. Maybe they want to do it throughout the year. You know, maybe they want to wait until the summertime before the iMacs come out. There was also talk about the Mac Pro, where they're going to be, the Mac Pro may stay on Intel. And then they're going to come out with a baby version of the Mac Pro that needs
more
affordable as well. So we got a lot of things to potentially look forward to in the Mac arena. It sounds like they're going to stay very active with Mac and come up with the stuff, but I definitely think a 16-inch MacBook Pro for sure. I think that's going to be the next product, and potentially they might come up with a 14-inch too, and maybe bring the price down a little bit.
I don't think that Apple is going to release any new Intel Macs at this point. The future for Apple is the current, you know, whether it's called the M or whatever, this custom ARM-based processor that Apple has come out with. It's become very popular. People are starting to see how fast it is, Bluetooth issues aside. But I think that releasing an Intel, even a Mac Pro or a Mac Pro Junior still on Intel would be a mistake. I just, at this point, I can't see any reason for Apple to release any new Intel Macs at all. Now, as far as the next version, other than Mac Pro, even that.
Yeah, I disagree with you on that. I think the pros are still going to want that platform, the Xeon processors.
They're too expensive. The Mac Pros are too expensive to stick with a legacy series of hardware like the Intel chips.
Doesn't when everything else be legacies. It could be next generation by that time.
What the you're talking Intel. About? Yeah, but it would still end up being kind of a bastard child, because none of the other Macs going forward are going to have Intel chips. And, you know, Apple says that they're going to continue to support the Intel Macs going forward, probably for at least 5 years.
At least.
But that's, you know, when you're looking at a Mac Pro, I mean, with a starting price of $5,000 to $6,000, that's right. A lot of money to put into a platform that, you know, the manufacturer isn't going to support going on down the line. That there's the new thing that they're working with right now. And, you know, what I would be interested to see is, does the M series scale? Can you take two M1s, put them on the same board, interconnect them in some way, and you wouldn't necessarily get double the speed, but yeah, you would have dual processors handling different tasks, and it would depend on how the OS was set up and how the software that would take advantage of multiple processors was set up to be able to take advantage of having more than one processor in there.
Yeah.
Because the M series, I mean, if you look at an Intel processor versus an M processor, the M processor is much smaller. So you could take God knows how many of those M processors, stick them into something the size of, hell, even a Mac Mini, and just have like a true monster type machine. Now, as far as what they'll release next, I am somewhat conflicted because I haven't heard much in the way of, you know, the next M series processor. I haven't heard much about that. So to me, I think that Apple will stick with the low to mid-range series Max. So that tells me that, that, you know, they might go with a 14-inch MacBook Pro that's basically a replacement for the current 13-inch MacBook Pro, but still keep the M1. Go to the iMacs, which is a mid-level machine, and put the M1s in that. And then going forward into the summer and fall, when they have the M1X or the M2 available, then release some of the pro versions of the current Macs that they're working on. And I still maintain that by December of this year, Apple will have transitioned all of their Macs, with the possible exception of the Mac Pro, to the M series of processors.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I think the Pro is going to stay on for another year.
Intel, maybe.
Intel.
Until they either figure, you know, they have to figure out some way to scale it, because Intel processors, especially the Xeon, scale well. You can take, and it's mostly, and it's part of the reason why that is in my mind, is the thing that holds it back, the Intel series of processors, is also its greatest strength when it comes to putting multiple processors into a machine, because you have separate RAM, you have separate GPUs, you have separate processors. So you have all of these separate components that you can sit there and pick and choose which one, you know, you want to put in there to do whatever job it is that you want to do. Whereas with the M series, so far, all we know is that a single M series processor is a kick-ass processor. Yeah. We don't know how well that would scale up with having multiple M1s, or just having an M series with that they just toss more cores into. We don't know how well it's going to scale yet.
Yeah, hard to say. I mean, other thing I can think of with the Pro, the Mac Pro, is with the rumor of the potential Mac Pro baby, whatever you want to call it, is the fact that maybe they will, with that new model, they would put the M1 in that, or the M processor in silicon in that model, and then look at the big boy Pro, you know, that may still, I'm still on the bandwagon thinking that the Pro may stay Intel. I mean, only because of pros that really require that platform. I mean,
that kind of processing. And there's software that is Intel only that may or may not. I mean, yeah, Apple has done a pretty good job,
right,
with Rosetta 2, getting Intel software to work on the M series. But how that would work with customized software that its entire life is based on x86,
right,
we don't know.
No, and then, I mean, app developers are already starting to come out. They continue on and evolving and coming out with their silicon versions of apps. The VLC just finally came out with, and that's open source. They came out with a version for the M1 that I just downloaded it yesterday. So they got two versions to download in Mac. They have an Intel based version and the M1 based version. So yeah, I even see Frank even agrees with me about the pros. We'll be staying on Xeon for.
You're wrong, Frank. You're wrong. Wrong, I say.
So software updates are really coming through on the M1. And and I think it's just going to continue to evolve. I'm real pleased with this M1 Mac Mini. I need to use it more, but I'm so partial with my Mac Pro that it's hard to switch.
Well, you got all your stuff, you know, and when I did the switch from the 27-inch iMac to the M1, one of the things I decided to do was to go into it completely cold, to not do a data transfer between the two machines. So everything that this M1 Mac Mini has is fresh and exciting. I'm going to stop singing because nobody wants that.
No.
Unless you have anything else, that's all I got for tonight.
I'm good. We got a good full show there.
All right. Well, then why don't you tell people how they can get a hold of you?
Or you can go to In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. You find me here every Wednesday night. Mac Voices Live on Facebook. That happens every Tuesday night. We always have a blast there. Come check that out on the Mac Voices group and the Mac Voices page. You can come join us too. And occasionally on the Mac Show on British Tech Network. And you can, this week we'll be on the show on In Touch with iOS. We'll be talking like what I just talked about tonight with CES stuff, and you'll hear interviews that I had with these product folks. So, and then on Twitter, you can find me at DaveG65.
Very good. And let's see, moving on to, oh God, how much time do we have? Moving on to my stuff, you can reach me through the emails. My email address is guy@mymac.com. You can also find me on the Twitters until they ban me, because, you know, apparently that's a thing. Mac Parrot or Vert Shark. My other is that a parrot? I don't think that's a parrot. That sounds more like a crow. It's not Mac Crow. It's Mac Parrot. No, my other podcast is... Okay, we'll go with that answer then. My other podcast is the My Mac. That one. That's a good one. Is the My Mac podcast that I do every single weekend with Mr. Gazmaz. Hopefully, I'll be doing one this weekend since I'm getting my second COVID shot on Friday. We'll see how that works out. Of course, the Mac to the Future live show that we're doing right now, as well as Guy's Daily Drive, where I get behind the wheel of a car, drive, and talk, which might seem a little weird, but it so far it works, and I haven't killed anyone. So, you know, thumbs up. If you'd like to help me, if you'd like to help support me with all of the things that I do, you can buy me a coffee at coffee.com, ko-fi.com/MacParrot. You can do that Patreon thing at patreon.com/MacParrot. And you can also PayPal. You can pay a pal at paypal.me/la-la-la-la-la-MacParrot. Ooh. And, of course, Warren Sklar is always on Facebook. You can reach him there. And what else? Oh, the YouTube channel. If you go to YouTube, do a search for Vert Shark, all of the videos will show up there. Then you can... You can smash that like bell, smash that notification bell, and you can like, share, subscribe, just like Dave. Just like Dave, show him again, one more time. Like, share, subscribe. It's so easy. My God, it's so easy. And of course, the vertshark.com website. And I am so behind right now. And why do I still have that up? I'm so behind right now. I've got Guy's Daily Drives going all the way back to the beginning of the year that I haven't edited and posted yet. So yeah, I know. As well as last week's MyMac.com podcast, I need to get out there.
What?
And one of the things, I have the podcast out, the audio. I don't have the video done yet.
Oh, video.
And one of the things I'm thinking about doing, I was talking to Gaz about this, was, you know, we do the after show in the My Mac podcast. So always, if you listen to the My Mac podcast and you only listen through to where you hear the ending music, keep listening. There's more stuff right after that. And it's the stuff that Gaz and I talk about in between segments and before we start and after we end. Oof. And it's always fun. And that's recorded on video. It's recorded on video. And one of the things I've been thinking about doing is taking some of that and making, you know, it would still be on YouTube, but making that exclusive to Patreon or something along those lines. So,
oh yeah, I also forgot. I was on Tech Fan with Tim and Dave, David.
David Cohen.
David Cohen a couple, like a week or two ago.
Nice.
Better listen.
Oh, well, on that note, I forgot to mention this. Next Sunday, it's a very, very long show because we were talking about microphones. Okay. Geekiest Show Ever with Elisa and Melissa at geekiestshoweverpodcast.com, or I can't even think of what their website is. But yeah, you'll be able to listen to me ramble on about a bunch of stuff that I probably shouldn't really ramble on about. But that was fun. It was super, super long. Lots of questions were asked, and some of it actually made sense. Mm. Go figure.
Who figured?
So that is going to do it, I think, for today. Dave, I think we're done.
We are.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you also very, very much.
Thank you.
For joining us here on the Mac to the Future live cast. And we will see you, not just you, but that person that's next to you right over there. We'll see you all next week as the parrot slash crow flies into the distance. Good night, everybody.